There have been many famous civilizations of the sea, cultures, societies, and empires that made a life on the water, that made a life on ships and boats and discovery of new lands. The Viking ships, the astonishing Polynesian navigators of the Pacific, the ancient Greeks, Ulysses, touring the Aegean Sea, and just north of Australia in Indonesia, what is today Indonesia, in what we think of as the Middle Ages, a great civilization prospered on that hub of the Indo-Pacific, and that was Sriwijaya. And that is what we're talking about today on The Burning Archive. Welcome to The Burning Archives, Summer of Civilizations. I am Jeff Rich. This is the Burning Archive podcast, where I help you see the world more clearly with some quality world history. And there are all sorts of reasons in 2024 to want to explore all of world history's civilizations. And I am going to guide you on that journey through this special summer season of the podcast of 12 or a few more episodes. So I'm reaching back to some earlier podcasts I did in 2022 that look at the history of civilizations. One of the problems with looking at the history of civilizations is so much has been written about them. But fortunately, I knew of a guide in the form of one great history book, written by the historian Felipe Fernandez Amesto, who I had the pleasure and the privilege to interview late last year on the podcast. One book, Civilizations, that can offer you a creative, accessible, imaginative, and in many ways quite delightful, generous world tour of the history of the world's civilizations. His book, Civilizations, has that theme, and it's very important that he expresses it in the plural. There are more than one way skin a cat, and there is more than one way to lead a civilized life. And if you'd like to explore the history of civilizations more, and also to go on the journey through the history of the world's civilizations, that enormous journey in a achievable, simple, compressed form by reading through a single book with me and discussing it more, I'm going to be offering a very special program starting in February, where I take you through the ideas, the concepts, and the history of the civilization, the history of civilization as articulated through Felipe Fernandez Amesto's book. And I'll give you a little bit more information about that new special program, but you can join up now. It's going to be starting in February, but you can sign up now or join a mailing list by going to courses, courses.jeffrichwriter, all one word, JeffRichwriter.com. And I'll add a little bit more details about that now, but why don't you sit back and relax, maybe enter that URL into your website now and listen to the stories of civilizations from the seaboards of the world, from the Pacific, from Europe, from the Americas, and of course from Indonesia and the great civilization of Sriwijaya. Okay, now I'm going to talk about the next environment, which is the water margins or civilizations shaped by sea. And there have been some cases of civilizations or peoples who've made a habitat of the sea. In Fernandez Amisto's book, he talks about the Orang Laut of Malaysia, who are a sort of a sea, who make their life on the sea. And he also covers the experiences of, I guess, the Scandinavian Vikings, early Atlantic, Northwest Atlantic period, about 3000 BC, where there were various cultures who sort of clung and developed around the Atlantic coastline. And he also talks about Japan, Maritime Arabia, Southeast Asia, the west coast of India, Gujarat, and Fujian, which is like on the South China Sea. But in general, he says the thing about the sea is it can be both life-threatening and life-supplying. It is not an easy place to make habitat, lone sailors and all that kind of thing. But where the sea and land meet, with harbours, rivers opening up into a navigable hinterland, they do offer civilizations the benefit of a diverse environment where the sea can be a source of food, a highway of trade, and a means of expansion. So the seaboard civilizations that he discusses are really those where the sea is an additional resource for land-based communities, or the sea is a highway of communication between them. These characteristics are important in shaping the experience of sea-bound civilizations. And I guess for Australian listeners to the show, you could sort of see the connections there with Australia, very much a seaboard civilization on the whole. Most of its population cling to the coast in a few major port cities that are connected to resource-rich hinterlands. Then the sea, certainly in the 19th century, now I guess the airways and the Ethernet, offer communication routes to a broader world. And often these seaboard civilizations are oriented to commerce, to trade, to merchants. And their character is often defined not only by the sea, but their relationship with a complex hinterland. And there have been many splendid histories of, I guess, sea histories of different seas and oceans. It's become a whole genre in history these times, partly inspired by the great Ferdinand Brodel's work on the civilization of the Mediterranean in Philip II. He was a great French historian who looked at long durée, or sort of long-term patterns of social and economic relationships, and how they formed some underlying ways of life that would often transcend particular national or religious or ethnic identities and bind the Mediterranean into a common culture of sorts, or at least an exchangeable culture of sorts that held people together. And a similar thing could be said about the Viking civilization, like based not around the Mediterranean but around the Baltic Sea, and then ultimately into the Mediterranean as well, and indeed the Black Sea. But if anyone is interested in the histories of seas, they should certainly consult the magnificent book by David Aboulafia, The Boundless Sea, A Human History of the Oceans. I believe he might have also written a book. Oh yes, he's written A Human History of the Mediterranean, the Great Sea. So seas are very much his thing. And this book, The Boundless Sea, is from, 2019. And totally marvellous book. It covers the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, and then the process for all those oceans binding themselves together. Of all the seaboard civilizations, the one that I would focus on a little bit, less well known but quite magnificent and mysterious in other ways, is the civilization of Srivijaya in Sumatra. Srivijaya was a state or an empire or a sort of a trading network, a bit like Hanseatic League of the Baltic state trading networks, that emerged in, it seems like, the 7th century and sort of seems to have continued strong until at least the 12th century AD. And it seemed to connect most of what we now call Indonesia, the island of Sumatra and the island of Java, as well as most of the sort of Malaysia, Malay archipelago. And it was a largely Buddhist empire or state or civilization that is a little bit mysterious, because some of what is known about it is, as is reported in the tales of travelers, Chinese monks, Arabian travelers, and also Chinese ambassadors who, or the court in China that would report the appearance of various ambassadors from Srivijaya in this period. And there are not all that many remains, although there is apparently some quite recent archaeological research, as in over the last 20 years, that is uncovering more and more of the nature of this civilization. It was predominantly Buddhist, and it reflected the communication over the oceans and the seas of Buddhism from, and then later Hinduism and also Islam from further up Eurasia, from India and China and so forth. And it was very much also at the nexus of the Indian Ocean and the South China Sea. And it's at that crucial meeting point of the large trading network that this civilization developed. As Fernandez Amesto says, it's very much an example of the connection of a seaboard civilization to highways of commerce and communication across the waters. It traded in sandalwood and frankincense, those sort of woods and resins that are used for ceremonial religious observance, and was also a large source of fish, turtles and other traded commodities. But it was also in a culturally rich place that seemed to gather together people of different religions and many cultures, and was something of a multicultural trading empire there in Southeast Asia, in what we would now think of as the Middle Ages in Europe, before somewhere between 600 and 1200 AD. It had a sophisticated court culture, says Fernandez Amesto, employing Hindu and Buddhist scholars, and had a tradition of pagan magic for the propitiation and control of the sea. The Maharaja, in quotation marks, was said to have enchanted crocodiles to guard his river estuary and to buy the goodwill of the sea with annual gifts of gold brick. But the foundation of success of Srivijaya was really its, open trading network rather than a consolidated territorial empire. And it was a terrifically rich place. Its capital was a place called Palembang, and that featured this sort of large river that would go up into the sort of hinterland off the coast, and was the sort of then the city as such was sort of strung along this river, not in a densely compacted way, but along sort of trading channel, so to speak. And recent archaeological research from shipwrecks and excavations in the area have really given a better sense of where what exactly this city was, because people had begun to doubt whether the reports were, you know, myths perpetrated by travellers or indeed real. But the excavations do show a kind of city that's not what is typically expected of a city. It's a city that's strung out along the long stretch of the river, a long strip city, so to speak. And David Abulafia, who has the benefit of more recent research on Srivijaya, summarises it so. This then was a city on the water, a city with length but no breadth, whose raison d'etre was water traffic. It did begin to decline around about the 10th century, so its high point was the 7th to the 9th century, at which point rival powers in Java and Malaya, including the powers that built the magnificent Borobudur, reduced its influence. But it also changes your perception of what an empire or a strong, great state can be. Abulafia says, rather than thinking of a centralized empire stretching over hundreds of islands and as far as the Malayan Peninsula, one should think of a commercial hub at Palembang, a wealthy and militarily powerful city ruled by a widely respected king. And this was not an isolated place as well. Here in Palembang, archaeologists have discovered trade goods from as far away as Egypt, Arabia, Persia, and India, and including ceramics, pottery, glass, precious stones, beads, coins, and huge amounts of Chinese porcelain. So it was, Abulafia says, a political network generally dominated by Srivijaya, in which the Maharaja had to accept the autonomy of his neighbours, who for the most part recognised his general claim to be their sovereign, carried on as far as possible without allowing him to interfere, and were perfectly prepared to challenge his authority at the first sign of weakness. So just as there are many different types of civilizations, there are many different kinds of empires. Srivijaya was a short-lived Southeast Asian empire built around a trading network along a great river on a crucial coast. If that whets your appetite to explore Felipe Fernandez Mesto's civilizations a little more, why don't you check out my course at courses.jeffrichrider. World History Explorers Season 1 is going to be exploring Felipe Fernandez Mesto's book Civilizations. We will go through all these environments in a little bit more detail. And you can enroll now. So go to courses.jeffrichrider.com and I'd love to see you there. There'll be weekly discussions, there'll be extra materials, and I will take you through this wonderful book that will help you explore world history one book at a time to go on a superb world tour of all the civilizations in all the environments of the world in 90 days. And you can do that by enrolling at courses.jeffrichrider.com. So another short episode this week. I hope that's okay with you. Next week, I'm moving from seaboards to oceans and exploring the extraordinary process of the domestication of the oceans and the rise of the West, the growth of that most enigmatic of civilizations, the Atlantic civilization, the West. And that will be the final environment that we'll explore in Felipe Fernandez Mesto's book Civilizations. And then we will be turning to, I guess, the broader story of the clash of civilizations, Samuel Huntington's influential book from the 1990s, The Clash of Civilizations and the Remaking of World Order. Okay, until then, everyone, take care and remember, what thou lovest well will not be reft from thee.